From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. We're coming to the end of April, and if you didn't know, it's Child Abuse Prevention Month. And while everyone is aware of the crime of child abuse, many may not be aware of how prevalent it is in our community. Last year saw more child abuse cases than in previous years in Lane County, but it's a nuanced story because while the problem is monumental, the fact that many cases were reported at all shows a positive trend towards awareness and action. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Patty Perlow, who through two different jobs has committed herself to protecting children in the county, first as the Lane County DA and now as the executive director of Kids First. The former prosecutor has transitioned from prosecuting abusers towards protecting kids and helping them navigate trauma. And that's next on Oregon on the Record. The organization Kids First is aptly named because its mission is literally putting kids first in every aspect of recovering from the terrible ordeal that is abuse and neglect. Today on the show, you'll hear from its executive director, Patty Perlow, who used to run the DA's office in Lane County and is now putting her efforts towards helping kids pick up the pieces after trauma. Patty Perlow, the executive director of Kids First, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you know, this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And obviously when we designate a month, what we're trying to do is raise awareness. And I'm curious, my first question is, do we not have enough awareness about the challenge of child abuse or just generally harm befalling children?
Well, I think that there is plenty of awareness that child abuse happens. I don't think we talk enough about what we can be doing to prevent that.
Okay. Let's talk about, is there a societal discomfort in talking about it that maybe, you know, people need to sort of just get over? Because obviously, even though it's a horrible crime, we need to be talking and doing things about it.
Right. After the fact, no one wants to hear the details of what happened. Mm-hmm. But at the front end, a lot of parents are uncomfortable talking to their children about body parts and body safety mm-hmm. and how to protect yourself and what it's like to be able to tell things that are uncomfortable to another adult. And if we can help people start having those conversations, then we've done our best job to try to help with prevention.
Okay. Well, and that leads right into talk about Kids First. Talk about what your organization does.
So Kids First is the Child Advocacy Center for Lane County, and we are a responsive agency. So after a child has already suffered physical or sexual abuse or witnessed violence, we provide the wraparound services to help the healing process get started, along with helping with some evidence gathering. So a child has experienced a trauma. They come into Kids First, and if they're age appropriate and developmentally able, we do a forensic interview with them to find out what their experience was. At the same time, they can receive a medical exam. They get screened for a risk assessment by a therapist to determine whether they have any risk of harm. And then the advocates step in to help get the family connected with resources and understand the process of what's going to be happening next.
Yeah. I talk about the training of the people who do that forensic interview, because I imagine that's got to be one of the most difficult things.
It is a very intensive program. It's called OCFIT. Mm. It's put on by Oregon Child Abuse Solutions, and the lead investigator, forensic interviewer, the director of forensic interviews and regional services at Kids First, was one of the developers of the Oregon interview guidelines and one of the creators of the training program for interviewers statewide.
Yeah. Talk about, because, you know, and maybe in sort of pulling the thread about how your organization first learns about kids who need these wraparound services. Talk about the collaboration with other entities that you work with.
So all of our referrals come from either law enforcement or DHS child welfare. We don't take self-referrals or walk-ins, although we're close to South Eugene High School, so occasionally kids from South will come walking in the door.
Okay.
But we get them connected with a law enforcement agency or DHS, and then they make the first contact with Kids First, saying that there's a child or children who need to be seen.
Okay, okay.
A lot of people listening probably know you more from your other job when you were Lane County's district attorney. I wanted to ask a couple questions about that. You know, what was it once you left the DA's office, what attracted you to want to run Kids First?
Well, it's a long history. Kids First was actually started by the district attorney, Doug Harkleroad, in 1994.
Okay.
And so it was a division of the DA's office up until 2015 as chief deputy of the DA's office from 2009 to 2015. I actually supervised Kids First.
Okay, okay.
And wrote the evaluations for the executive director. So it was a pretty natural fit. Kids First spun off as a standalone nonprofit in 2015, and the services expanded exponentially after leaving the DA's office. That's when a medical provider, well, now we have two on mm-hmm. staff full-time, and therapy started in 2022. So the services have really expanded since that time. It was a natural fit for me to go back to Kids First. I'd been on the board mm-hmm. during the time I was DA, and then when I got a phone call from one of the board members asking if I would be interested, that was about the only thing that was going to get me out of retirement. And so, I mean, I have to say there are a lot of challenges that came with it because I've never supervised a medical clinic. Mm-hmm. So I've had a learning curve about compliance and billing and never run a therapy program.
Well, were there similarities or lessons learned as a prosecutor that helped you run Kids First? I know it's very different, but I mean, I imagine that there must be some leadership, perhaps, similarities.
Absolutely. Well, and my draw to Kids First is decades old because I'm decades old and prosecuted cases before Kids First existed and then cases after the doors opened and could see the difference in the quality of investigations as a prosecutor that came as Kids First developed and then as it evolved over time when the guidelines for interviews were standardized and the training was improved, the interviews just got better. And as everything develops in time, you get to study evidence about what is most effective. And so I got to watch all of that happen over the course of Kids First development. And yeah, I have run an organization. Mm-hmm. You know, the DA's office had about 80 employees overall. And so it was pretty easy to step into this role from that perspective.
Okay, okay. Let me quickly reintroduce you to the audience. We're speaking with Patty Perlow, the executive director of Kids First. I'm curious, you know, the organization started in the DA's office, as you explained, and spun off into its own nonprofit. Is that a fairly unique thing to have happen to an organization like this, to leave a county facility or a county government structure and become its own nonprofit? And maybe talk a little bit about how that gave Kids First perhaps more advantages by being a nonprofit.
Well, I can tell you that funding is very difficult when you are part of a government agency. Donors and grantors think, well, it's a government agency. Government will pay for it. And I don't need to go through the entire history of the budget shortfalls of Lane County.
Sure.
But it was not we would never have been able to expand the model to include medical, to increase the number of employees that we have. And the services wouldn't be able to be as robust as a government agency. Being a standalone nonprofit, we are able to obtain foundation grants, government grants. We have a rural grant from the federal government to provide services to domestic violence victims. And, it's just the opportunities for funding are so much greater not being part of Lane County government.
Yeah, yeah. At your time at the DA's office, but now with Kids First, and you know, it's something, again, you know, if we talked about maybe people being very uncomfortable talking about child abuse, very uncomfortable talking about human trafficking, especially when it comes to kids. Talk about that scourge and sort of what you're seeing in our community.
Well, we're on the I-5 corridor, mm-hmm. and drugs are easily obtained, and so we are a ripe market for children to be trafficked in the sex trade. And that is really a difficult problem to address from every angle, because a number of the children who are being trafficked don't think of themselves as victims. They feel like they are in control of their circumstances and that the life that they're leading now is better than the alternative from where they came. And so it takes an entire team to help get a child out of that circumstance and to provide them with the services that they need to get away from all of that and to begin their healing process.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I was doing some research on your organization, I know some of the language talked about trying to make it as easy as possible for kids to both reach a better outcome, but also just to kind of navigate the system that's available. Talk a little bit about that and how your team works. Because, you know, obviously we can only imagine how traumatic things have been for these kids and then having to navigate a whole bunch of services. Talk about that aspect of Kids First.
So there are different systems involved
okay.
in this. I mean, some of the kids are DHS involved, that they're being placed either with other family or out of the home, or the family's being directed on what they need to do to remain intact. There's the criminal justice system that most people have no concept of what that entails until they need it.
Mm.
And then there's just the social service systems and helping a family just meet their basic needs. So for each of those systems, we have advocates that help the family understand what's available in the community, the resources that are available. And then we also provide support if it's going through the criminal justice system. If it leads to criminal charges being filed, then the grand jury is held at Kids First if the child is going to have to testify. That's unique in the state of Oregon, to have grand jury at the Child Advocacy Center. So there are two grand juries impaneled in Lane County. Every 28 days, we get two new grand juries. And one of them is specifically to hear child abuse cases at Kids First.
Hmm.
And the only time those cases are actually held at Kids First is if the child is going to have to testify during the grand jury proceeding. And so they come back to a facility that's familiar to them, and there are advocates there, and it's a much more supportive, trauma-informed way to help children through the process. But after grand jury, if the case proceeds to court, then we have to help get them ready to go to the courthouse. They'll receive a different advocate from the Lane County DA's office. And we continue to support them and their family through that process and let them know what to expect. One thing about a child advocacy center that people might not know is that every case that comes through our door has a case review, a multidisciplinary team. So law enforcement, DHS, the DA's office, sometimes CASA, sometimes the schools, whoever was involved with that child in that case, comes together to review all the details of it and find out what supports are in place and if there are any needs that aren't being met. And if there's work to be done to help get a case to the charges can be filed and prosecution can take place. So that's really an important part of this process.
Yeah, yeah. And CASA, court-appointed special advocates. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Patty Perla, who is the executive director of Kids First. So you've been involved in this for quite some time, both as a DA and now running Kids First. Is the problem getting better or worse in our community, from your view, with regard to child abuse?
We saw a record number of kids last year, but I can't say that that's because there's more abuse happening. I'm hopeful that it's because there's more awareness and that cases are being reported, that kids are comfortable telling what's happening, that law enforcement is getting engaged and DHS is getting engaged, and our medical provider is seeing siblings of kids who have come in to make sure that they're safe and healthy as well. So I'm hoping that it isn't that we have an increase in abuse in our community, but rather that we have more awareness and things are getting reported.
Sure. Kind of like I know the idea that if you hire more law enforcement officers, crime may go up in terms of statistics. It may not be that there's more criminals. It's just that there are more law enforcement out there catching criminals. Specifically in our community, which, you know, Lane County and even some parts of Eugene, you know, there's a difference between urban and rural. Is do you see that in terms of some of the disparate need for services such as yours between the more rural and urban parts of our community?
Well, I mean, we serve all of Lane County. Mm-hmm. And so what we find for the rural communities is, I mean, Lane County is huge.
Yeah.
And so if somebody needs to come to Kids First from Oak Ridge or Blue River or Florence, it could be a barrier, transportation and all. So we work to make sure that we can reduce those barriers and help families get in. We have a van that's fondly called the Golden Chariot that goes out to pick up families that need transportation in the nearby area, down maybe as far as Cottage Grove. But beyond that, we help provide gas cards and look for ride share opportunities so that we can reduce the transportation barrier. But it is a barrier to be that far away from services. And the time commitment and an appointment can be as much as 4 hours at Kids First. And so then, you know, the family's pretty much spending an entire day involved in this if they live on the outskirts of the county.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to many leaders in social service programs, and to a person, they've talked about the challenge with so much cuts coming at the federal government level to provide funding and services. What are you seeing in terms of what you can get from the federal government, and if that's been somewhat curtailed?
Well, the Victim of Crime Act funding, VOCA funding, has been kind of at risk for a number of years now because it came from criminal fines, and judges have not been imposing as much financial burden on a defendant. And so the VOCA money's been drying up. There was legislation in Congress, House Resolution 909, that the House did pass to provide a funding source for VOCA, and it's sitting in the Senate now. If it doesn't pass, then that federal access to money is still a challenge, and it's going to be cut. Medicaid is also something that impacts us because forensic interviews, medical exams, and therapy are billable services through Medicaid. Pacific Source leaving the Medicaid area in Lane County was a blow. And while we have a great relationship with Trillium, it doesn't cover our case rate with them, doesn't cover our actual costs. And so we have to make up that money through either federal grants, community grants, state funding, or fundraising. And so, yeah, we have a significant impact from federal cuts.
Okay. Patty, my last question for you is this. Is there sort of a general message you'd like listeners to sort of take away from our conversation about sort of the community's obligation about protecting children?
Well, I've always believed that it is our responsibility as a community to get every child to adulthood safely and to be a good community member. And so something like Child Abuse Prevention Month is a great opportunity to talk about what we as a community can do to get all of the kids who live here to adulthood safely and to be good community members. One of the most important messages is talk to your kids in age-appropriate ways about body safety and who you can talk to. Find five adults that you can identify on your five fingers that you could go to if something happened or if you were worried about something happening. Communication, watching out for your neighbors. We've become so siloed. And, you know, all our communication now is online as opposed to just in the neighborhood. And so open your eyes, watch out for your neighbors, watch out for your neighbors' kids, not spying on them, not tattling on them, but just be a good community member and help get your kids to adulthood safely.
That's a great message. She's Patty Perlow, Executive Director of Kids First, former DA. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us.
It has really been a pleasure.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, believe it or not, some influencers and even those high up in the Make America Healthy Again movement are touting the health benefits of nicotine. We talk with an expert at the U of O to separate fact from fiction. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.